listening to Legacy Lawyers, hosted by Michael Haslam and Nathan Croxford.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. Hey, Nathan, how are you, man?
Do you want me to be honest, or you want me to put on a good face for our listeners?
You just do what you want to do.
This is a safe zone.
So
the podcast is a safe place.
I mean,
I'm honestly a little overwhelmed.
We'll just edit morning. Anything you say that we don't like. So don't worry about it.
Into long strings expletives, then we'll just edit those out.
So this is a really important podcast. So everyone listen to the full part, all the recording, because the consequences of not knowing this information can be
$500 a day or up to 2 years in prison.
So if you had to pick, which one would you do, Nathan? Would you pay the fine or go to prison?
I might just go to prison. I don't know.
Call it like a short break.
We'd have to do the math.
Yeah, I'll do
the math. The problem is you go to prison, then you're still going to get the fines.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, we better first of all give our...
What are we talking about, Nathan?
We should first of all give our disclaimer, then we will tell them what we're talking about. So the disclaimer is that me and Mike are both attorneys. We practice in the estate planning world. We deal with small business entities. However, the purpose and proper use of our podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It does not constitute legal advice. You should not substitute anything you hear on this podcast as legal advice. And with that, what do you want to tell them? What's the name of our podcast?
The Corporate Transparency Act, a new generation of regulation. No, it's about the Corporate Transparency Act, which is a rule that was issued that requires all businesses to submit additional information to the federal government. And to keep that information updated and current, and failure to do so can result in the $500 a day fine and or prison. So they're serious about it. It's no joke. And a lot of businesses don't really keep on top of their...
The vast majority of the people that are going to be hardest hit by this probably can't even find the documents they'd have to look at to comply with this thing.
Yeah, like most business owners, if you ask them, hey, when's the last time you reviewed your ownership documents and updated your information with the state of Utah? They'd be like, never.
Well, I'd even go further than that. Most people that come in here and tell me they have a business entity, what they mean is there's a name registered on the state of Utah's Division of Corporation website. They've filed articles to create an LLC or a corporation or a partnership, limited partnership, but there's no ownership documents. There's no operating agreements. There's no bylaws or resolutions. There's none of that. And some of them don't even realize that that's required to have that business run as a legitimate business entity. Mm-hmm. Tell you one thing that should happen from this. I bet CPAs stop creating LLCs for people.
Yeah, that's what's been interesting is like we'll get business documents from clients and we'll see what they say, and then we'll see what the tax return says, and usually they don't match. Like the ownership documents are not matching how they're reporting to the IRS.
And if there even are ownership documents.
And a lot of times there's not even an operating agreement or bylaws. And so here's kind of the idea behind the act, right? The government's like, hey, we need to know who's involved with all these companies and entities so we can better stop crime and stop terrorists and know who's behind these entities, which you get that. Like you get that they want to know, you know, when there's a crime going on or they want to know who to pursue for a crime. The problem is they're putting the burden on us to solve that problem for them.
To self-report and to know how to self-report. Mm-hmm. You just said that as we've been reviewing this topic, you looked at the actual website and found a guide, a compliance guide for small businesses.
Small entity compliance guide.
Small entity compliance guide. That would be everybody listening, probably. It's only 57 pages long.
That's it. You'll remember all those rules.
Yep.
Do them right, right? So, I mean, also the web page with all the frequently asked questions.
What's that domain?
FinCEN, FinCEN.gov. And there's something called Beneficial Ownership Information Reporting, or BOI homepage. That's where you would go and it'd have all the information about kind of reporting. There's a button there where you can make your report. You can report your entity. So the interesting thing here, though, is right when you go into the FAQs, right, the frequently asked questions, it just goes on and on and on. Like you just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. So it's not always simple on how to report. Now, if you have an LLC, you're the only owner, you're the only employee, you're the only one who owns it and runs it, you're the only one involved with it, it's going to be easy for them to report, right? They're going to go in and give their personal information to this website, and then they've reported. Now, if something changes, they're supposed to update it, and that's where we'll see a lot of mistakes, is people won't remember to update it. That one person business might add another owner, they might have some of their personal information change, and then they'll forget to update it, and then they'll be out of compliance. So
that will happen within months of, like, it's crazy. This isn't something you can take your eye off of. This is not a do it once, never look at it again type of a thing for most businesses, unless you are that one person that just runs, you're the entire business, everything you just described, which is not most businesses. I would say that it's not going to be simple for most people. And even for those that it is probably pretty straightforward, it's something that's going to have to be an ongoing. I mean, this will almost become like filing taxes every year, except the problem is the law requires you to update it within 30 days of changes being made.
Yeah. What should I do? So one of the FAQs, right? What should I do if previously reported information changes? If there is any change to the required information about your company or its beneficial owners, you must file an updated report no later than 30 days after the date of the change. So, and then they give you a graphic to help you understand that. And it's a calendar that says update within 30 days. it's very helpful. So, okay, well, who's going to do this? And this is why this is frustrating for me. Like we use entities like LLCs for a lot of different planning reasons. Sometimes it's as simple as just holding a piece of real estate, right? It's not doing a lot of other business activities. It's not, you know, hiring 20 employees. It's just, it's an asset protection strategy. It's going to hold a piece of real estate to minimize risk. And it's a great planning vehicle. One, because it's relatively inexpensive to set up. The renewal fee in Utah is only like $18 a year. So it's almost nothing to renew it each year. And after you set it up, you really don't have to do anything.
And it provides awesome liability protections for our clients.
Yeah.
Provides legal. They're legal. It's legal to limit your liability. I mean, the idea is if my LLC owns a rental property and someone's hurt in my rental property, the plaintiff, the injured party, can only sue the owner. And if the owner is an LLC, then they have recourse against the insurance on that property. They have recourse against the property itself. But beyond that, if the LLC is set up correctly and run properly, the corporate veil is going to keep that plaintiff from attacking me personally.
Now, when we talk to clients about the asset protection, we're going to be like, hey, like, you know, it is best practice to have an LLC, but if any of your business information changes, you have 30 days to update on this website. And if you don't, and here's the paragraph on their FAQs for the penalties, right? A person who willfully, so that's interesting, that term willfully, I wonder, like, that will probably get fleshed out what that means, but who willfully violates the reporting requirements may be subject to civil penalties of $500 for each day. That person may also be subject to up to 2 years of imprisonment and a fine of up to $10,000. So potential violations include willfully failing to file a beneficial ownership information report, willfully filing false information, or willfully failing to correct or update previously reported beneficial information. So they say right there, failure to update previously reported information triggers the penalty.
So clients, we want you to use this great, affordable, highly effective liability protection tool, but you could get fined $500 a day or go to prison for 2 years for having it and not following these specific guidelines.
And if they would have done like, hey, you need to update it
annually, 6 months, 90 days,
then
no, 30 days,
then you can just do, you know, an annual review type thing you always do. And you can set a reminder, hey, I need to double check that my information's correct, and then you update it. But this whole 30-day thing is pretty...
You can make it coincide with your tax filings. I'm going to update my FinCEN. What does that stand for? Financial...
FinCEN? Financial Crime Enforcement Network.
There you go. Do my FinCEN report with my taxes every year? No. And then what is willful? If I know about it, but I forget... If I know about it, but I got into an accident and I was incapacitated for 6 months.
I would hope that's not willful, right? Yeah, there's a lot that will get fleshed out, which leads us to the reason we haven't done a podcast on this sooner, because this went into effect on the January 1st of 2024, is this law is being challenged, right? There's already been one lawsuit that was filed and the court did find that this was unconstitutional, but it's already been appealed. And the court, even though they said it was unconstitutional, they basically in the case said that
that holding is limited to the facts of the case.
And they said, like, if you fix these couple things, then it probably wouldn't be unconstitutional anymore.
Well, meaning they gave Congress some pointers. The federal court gave Congress some pointers on how they could have made it constitutional.
So most attorneys, practitioners in the space, we all feel like it's not going away.
It's inevitable. Combined with the fact that the U.S. is pretty behind the curve when it comes to collecting this kind of information, a lot of other jurisdictions outside of the U.S. are way further ahead on this stuff.
They've been getting this information for a while. Yeah. So the next question...
The way things have been going, we're following suit on a lot of the global things that happen.
So the next question is, who can be held liable for violating the reporting requirements? So both the individual and corporate entities can be held liable.
The other crazy thing, well, it's not even crazy, it's just, it's a function of living in the modern world right now, is that there's already scammers that are out there taking advantage of this. Sending people links, QR codes, fake forms, requests for fees. It doesn't cost anything to do this reporting. And they're saying, here's your fee to do your CTA reporting, your FinCEN reporting. And as a result of that, people are getting scammed already.
Yeah. If you own a business, so if you listen to our podcast and you own a business, you need to... One, file your beneficial ownership information. You should reach out to your trusted advisor and help them do an analysis of what information needs to be filed, because it is a what we call a facts and circumstances test, meaning you have to look at all the facts for your business and determine whose information you need to actually report and make sure you're not missing someone on accident. And so after you meet with them, then you need to file. You also need to come up with some type of systematic approach or reminder so that if you change anything on your business, you remember to update that information. That's the new thing all business owners need to do.
The deadline's January 1 of 2025 for anything that was created before January 1 of 2024. But anything from January 1 of 2024 onward, we have 90 days to initially report, 30 days to update information thereafter if it changes.
So if you filed a business in 2024, created a business, you're on the clock and you might already be past the time frame. So act immediately. If you filed a business before January, then luckily you still have to the end of the year to get your information filed. And so you have time to reach out to your trust advisor and go through exactly what you need to file for your businesses. Now, for us, we're still working through how we're going to service our clients on this end, but hopefully, I mean, I think there'll be some good third-party companies that will try to simplify this for people. What do you think, Nathan?
Oh, trust me, there's an entire industry that will grow out of this. Probably the people that are best situated right now are companies that are like professional
registered agents.
Registered agents. If they're not all over this, they're going to get smoked.
It's a good opportunity for them to do that. Now,
that's probably a huge nightmare for them, potentially.
And, you know, we're going to have a conversation with our clients now with their entity structure. We're going to look through it, and we're going to decide if the structure still makes sense based on these reporting requirements. And then there's an extra wrinkle for people who have a trust. So almost all our clients have a trust, and their trust owns their businesses. And so then the question becomes, although a trust is not an entity that needs to file, the trust may have to file information if it's an owner of the business, if it's the beneficial owner of the business is kind of the term. So now there's going to be, that's why there's an actual assessment that needs to be done to say, hey, okay, you need to file this information about your business. You need to file this information about your trust. You need to file this information about the people listed in your trust. And you need to get this information from everybody so you can do your reporting correctly. And we're going to be changing how we do our trusts. We're going to be changing how we do our LLCs so that we can minimize the reporting impact that it has on our clients.
Yeah, my mind's just spiraling right now. Like there was mention in one of these articles, but I'm thinking about the real implications now. It's like a lot of times our clients don't necessarily ask each individual that they're naming as a fiduciary for permission to name them, for permission to, because they kind of assume that they're a loved one and that they're going to be okay with doing this. At this point where now there's the implication that you would have to provide all of that information, the question is somebody going to be upset when they find out later that they were named without being asked and that all their information was turned over as part of the reporting requirement?
Well, I don't know. I don't think they'll be able to do the reporting without talking to them about it because they're going to need more than just their name. But
yeah, they're asking for, at least for the, from what I've seen, social security numbers, photo IDs, so passports or driver's licenses.
Yeah.
Have to be submitted as part of this. It's not just a name and a
address. Yeah. So first, I think anyone that is getting their information submitted to these, to the website, the person's going to know because probably they should know because they just gave their social IDs and birth dates to, and where I think it's going to be a little bit of a tricky situation is, we might be able to, the trust will be set up where, hey, like we don't need to report the kids' information on this website, right? We just need to report mom and dad's if we set the trust up right. But then the second mom and dad become incapacitated,
30 days.
The child, when they take over as trustee, they have 30 days.
Yep.
Or mom and dad dies.
Half of the way within a month, you've got 30 days from the date you lose a loved one to go on and tell the federal government information about what changed in the trust or what changed in the legal the business entity.
Yeah, if you want
to talk to most people that have lost loved ones, especially if they're super, you know, they're like it's unexpected or whatever else, they're in a haze for a year. They're not doing anything inside of 30 days. that involves this. They're grieving. They're working through the complications of getting somebody's funeral set up, memorials. If it's an incapacitation scenario, you've got a sick person in a hospital, that your first concern is going to be their well-being and getting their securing any financial situations that might be vulnerable because they're incapacitated. It's not your first inclination to say, now I need to tell the government everything that's happening. Correct. That's what you're going to have to do.
Yeah. It's going to make things more tricky for sure. So that's where I'm just like, I don't know if the burden.
It'll cost money. That's going to get passed on to all these people.
Yeah. I don't know if the burden matches the benefit here.
Oh, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say there's no way the burden justifies the benefit. No way.
I feel like there was a different way for them to solve this problem than to dump all this extra reporting on everybody in an impractical manner. So we'll see. I mean, the litigation's not done. It will continue to be fought in courts for the next several years, and I'm sure there'll be some tweaks made to some of these rules, but for now, these are the rules. So please, if you're one of our clients, reach out to us so we can start getting your reporting requirements clarified for you and make sure that if there's any amendments or changes that can be done to your planning to make it easier, the reporting easier on you, we take advantage of that. And also that you're not inadvertently failing to report something that you need to. So any last thoughts on this new act, Nathan?
No, you mentioned that your youngest is pretty good at this like hurt cry.
Yeah, my 3-year-old daughter.
It's like when this. She wants people to know she's not having a good day or how bad she's hating something, then she'll do this little cry noise. I wish we had a recording of that because we could just finish by playing that.
That's what I thought of after I read the rules.
And I was like holding my sides and kind of just gently rocking myself like, it's okay, it's okay.
Well, I mean, me and Nathan, we have several, businesses we own.
Just our own is going to take a minute.
And I'm just like,
I mean, and then the safe approach is to throw everybody's name in and contact information that you can. The problem is that you're going to have to ask all those people because you're going to need things like their social and their driver's license. So that's where it's going to be hard. Hey, can I get your social? Like, how many people are going to get asked for their social security number in the next 12 to 15 months that it's going to come as a shock to them that's information they have to provide? Can I get a copy of the passport? What?
Well, the website says, that it's secure, Nathan.
Yeah. Like all the health data and every other thing that I have in electronic format that I've gotten mailings on in the last 5 years that says they were hacked and my information was stolen. That'll never happen. Never happen. This won't be a source of, this won't be a breeding ground for identity theft ever. Okay. Well, I don't know. That's about all I can give you on this.
So on a positive note,
you're on your own here.
Me and Nathan's got your back. So we'll help you out any way we can to figure out the Corporate Transparency Act. So that's a positive note. So thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you at our next podcast.
See ya.
You've been listening to Legacy Lawyers with Michael Haslam and Nathan Croxford. We give you the juicy detail of cases that our law firm has dealt with. We take out the lawyer talk and legalese and show you what options some of our clients had to choose from to fix their situation. The effects of not doing planning can be devastating. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, hook up with us on Facebook and Instagram at Voyant Legal. Call us at 801-951-0500 or send us an email at team@voyantlegal.com. And for commonly asked questions, hit voyantlegal.com/resources. We'll see you next time.